more time in your presence, God. God, we're not all that we should be. Nor are we all that you want us to be. But God, as I stand here behind this sacred desk, in all my imperfections, I want you to use me. God, I want you to have your way. This day, give me a word from on high for you. God, I pray. Hide me behind the cross. That they see you and not me, God. Once again, I'm just an empty cup. But if you fill me up today, God, I'll give you a word to your people. That they may be edified. Lives may be changed. Hearts may be changed. But you gonna get all the glory, the honor, and all the praise. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. For our sake we pray, amen. And thank God. Amen. We're not gonna give the devil any glory. He tried to mess this stuff up today. Because he made me leave all of my general notes at home. And he made me do all that other stuff. But thank God, we're going to give what God has given us to give to you. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 12. Again, we are dealing with tracing Abraham's footsteps of faith. Genesis chapter 12. And verses, today we're going to deal with verses 7, 8, and 9. And it reads, "And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land, and there build an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent, having Bethel on his west, and Hai on his east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south." Amen. Grass withers, flower fades away, but the word of our God shall stand forevermore. Of course, in this series, on part one of this sermon, we dealt with obedience to God. Dealt with that God says that at some point in our lives, we got to step away from all the mess that we're in the midst of and give ourselves to him.
Yeah, man.
He says, once you separate from the world, then everything that you own then belongs to him.
Yeah.
All of your substance, everything that you have, it belongs to him. And then he says he gives you a point where you're going to surrender unto the Lord.
Yes, sir.
That's obedience unto God. A couple of weeks ago, we dealt with the opposition that Abram faced all of this time. First of all, his days were against him. Because the boy was 75 years old and he getting ready to go on a journey. And we told you there that at 75, folk are like getting ready to rest. But he was on a journey for the Lord. Yeah, and then he was, darkness oppressed him. God told him he was going to give him the land. He walks in the land and find out that the enemy was in the land.
Yeah.
The Canaanites were still in the land. They're saved. They're sitting there in the land. And the Canaanites were some evil folk. They believed in many gods. They worshipped many gods. They did all kind of stuff. They did all kind of evil worshiping and all this. And they're in the land where God is sending Abram.
Yes.
Then we dealt with distance was against him. Told you he was 75 years old, and now he has to walk some 500 miles to get where he's going. But he was faithful to the will of God. And then his duties was against him. Here Abram is on his way, on a journey. He's taken his wife. He's taken his nephew Lot. He's got all of his herd, all of his flock, all of his everything going with him. And it's his responsibility to take care of all of them.
Yes, sir. All right.
So his duties were against him. But thank God he was faithful in all that he did. And here in the verses 7 through verses 9, we find something totally different going on.
Yes, sir.
Because Abram was at that point in his life, God gave him some opportunities.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Some things he wanted him to see in this life. While this man is called upon to walk by faith to an unseen place. He didn't know where he was going. He just was walking by faith.
Yeah.
He was given an opportunity that other folk knew nothing about.
Yeah.
What you mean, preacher? Go to verse number 7. In verse number 7, it says he had an opportunity to experience God's promises. This man could travel as a pilgrimage in Canaan, knowing that his heart and everything else in every square inch of the ground was his and his children's. They are fighting over that same land that God gave him right now this morning. They're fighting over it. But I've got news for you. That ground belongs to the Jews. As he traveled, Abram enjoyed the future. Though it still remains unseen, he still got it.
Yeah. Amen.
What you mean? What an example for us to set for the children of the Lord to see in this text this morning. Even as we continue on our pilgrimage toward glory, we can see the future by faith.
Yeah.
As though it were a reality to us this morning.
Yes.
What you mean, preacher? God has shown every one of us in here something.
Yes, he has.
Down the road.
Yes, he has.
That you haven't gotten yet.
Yes.
God has showed you where you were going to be, but you haven't gotten there yet. And it looks like you'll never make it to where God wants you to be. I say, hold on and keep on walking by faith.
Yes.
Every time, my grandma would say, every time I make 2 steps, look like I fall back 3 steps, but keep on trusting God and keep on walking by faith, because God is going to make it happen in your life.
Yeah,
you better walk by faith.
Yeah.
That morning star, keep traveling for Jesus.
Yeah.
You are sure to make heaven your home.
Yeah,
yeah, if you keep your mind focused on Jesus, you are safe. In Jesus, if you are safe in Jesus this morning, heaven will be your home.
Yeah.
Who told you that, Rev? I went to Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 6 says that he has raised us together and made us to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Now watch this. He has raised us together, that saints, the children, the true believers of God. He raised us together.
Yeah.
And he made us sit in heavenly places.
Yeah.
Watch, but this tells me that I'm going to heaven, because in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Now wherever Jesus is, that's heaven to me.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but wherever Jesus is, that's heaven to me. And if I'm going to sit in places where Jesus is, I know I got heaven as my home.
Yeah.
In other words, God picks us up and sits man because I'm with Jesus. You know, when all hell breaking loose on your job, in your house, and all them other places that you're dealing with, and you sitting there and folks looking at you like you crazy, that's because you're sitting in heavenly places. Yeah, your mind, you don't even worry about them. They're talking about you, they're lying on you, they're doing all kind of stuff to you. They're beating you and scandalizing your name. They talk to you in the face while they're stabbing a knife in your back. It really doesn't matter to me. You know why? Because I'm sitting in heavenly places with Jesus now. I don't have to war against you because I got somebody else that's going to fight my battle. All I got to do is just keep still. He enjoys the promises of God. Now, if you want to enjoy the promises of God, you got to get your relationship with Jesus Christ in a right place. Yeah. Says here in verse 7. That he experiences God's promise. But if you look at the second part of verse 7 and then verse 8, he says he enjoys, he has an opportunity to enjoy God's presence. As he walks, as he journeys through the land, Abram has company with him. He has a companion that excels all other companions.
Amen.
God walked with him every step of the way.
Amen.
Well, how did he walk with him, preacher? The first thing is, he walked with him in his worship.
Uh-huh.
It seems that whenever Abram pitched his tent, he also built an altar.
Amen.
Yeah. He took time to worship as he journeyed along the way. His altars gave loud testimony to the condition of his heart. The fact that he built them in the center of a land called Canaan, where all around him the people were so engrossed in the darkness and idolatry, says a whole lot about him.
Amen.
Doesn't that sound like the world today?
Yes.
That's why a couple of weeks ago we had Bible study say, glow, let your light shine.
Yeah.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, but glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, you can't walk around here trying to hide your light.
Amen.
How do I hide my light, preacher? Conversation is going on the job. They talking under women dressing. You right along with them laughing. You talking. I knew y'all wasn't going to say amen, but that one. When you join in with mess, you dim your light or you cover your light up. See, you got. We are supposed to be examples of God's people here on earth.
Yes.
And if I am not doing what God has called me to do on earth, and I come to church on Sunday, I put on my holy suit. Got all my dress clothes on, and I'm ready to go and worship God. But when I walk out the door, I'm cussing Sam and Sally and all the rest of them. I'm not letting my light shine. See, what? It doesn't matter what it looks like in here. It's what it looks like on the outside of here that really matters. You can look like anything in here, but when you go outside, I see the real you. God's people should be known for your altar. And when I say altar, I mean you ought to be known for your worship. Doesn't matter where you go, not just in church, but everywhere your path takes you, you ought to be known for your altar.
Yeah.
We should be marked. It should mark our days with prayer and spending some time in the presence of God.
Oh, yeah.
We must make worship our priority in our lives.
Yeah.
Why should I do that, preacher? Because John chapter number 4, verse 23 through 24 says, but the hour coming.
Yes.
And it's now.
Yeah.
When true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24 says, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Watch this thing. God came to him. Asked Jesus. Jesus, y'all worship up on the mountain in Jerusalem, man. And he talks about the mountain, but then he tells him, he says, they're coming the time. Jesus said, the time is coming. Then he turned around and said, well, it has already come. When you are called, what you are called really doesn't matter. Where are you going to worship? Really shouldn't matter.
No, man.
Nice stuff.
What you mean, preacher? See, in this world we got Methodists. We got Catholics. We got Presbyterians. We got non-denominations. We got all them other things that we got. But the list goes on and on. Every time somebody wants a new religion, they come up with a new denomination. I don't like what they're doing, so I'm gonna make my own denomination up. Well, when it gets to that point, he said, it really doesn't matter what you call.
That's it.
When you get down to the mere fact of it, all I need to be is a Christian. Saved by the grace of God. Because when I get to heaven, God is not going to come to earth and say, let me go to the Baptist church first. No, he's going to say, let me go to the church. See, because he's looking for real believers. Not them counterfeit folk. Doesn't matter what you call. Doesn't matter where you worship at. God is pure. He's a pure being and he's a spirit. Those who worship him must do so in their own very being, in their spirit. Their true selves is adorned by God. See. Too many times we go places and I don't care where I go, I always have good church. Whether I'm in Methodist, whether I'm in Catholic, wherever I am. Because see, when they say, what thus saith the Lord, I can say amen. When they say all the rest of that stuff, I just wipe it out and go on about my business. But anywhere you go, you ought to be able to lift up the holy hands and give God some praise. Why? Because when the Spirit of the Lord moves, he doesn't move just in the Baptist. He doesn't move just in the Catholic. He doesn't move in the Presbyterian. And he doesn't fool gospel. He doesn't move in just those things. He moves in the church of God. We build walls. Watch, he says, when we build our altars. And I'm not ashamed of God, of the God we serve. It stands as a powerful witness to those folk around us. There's nothing wrong with telling people about the Lord. And you should be vocal with your witness. But when you get right down to it, listen well. If you have to tell someone you are different and that you are a Christian, then something is wrong with that too. Our devotion to God ought to let folk know we say it. Our walk with God ought to let folk know we say it. God, you know I go to Bright Morning Star Baptist Church. I'm in church every Sunday. I'm this, I'm that, I'm this, I'm that. Oh, Lord, I'm a part of this, I'm a part of that. That really doesn't matter because you can be a part of all that stuff and still go to hell. You got to live the right kind of life where God can see, and that's a let your light so shine before men. When folk, you don't even have to tell folk you say. All you got to do is walk in the room and the conversation stop. That's when you know you let your light so shine. Yeah. When you start talking, folks start leaving the room. Don't be embarrassed about it. Don't be worried about them leaving. And guess what? When you walk in the room and they're talking and it stops, don't be worried about they talking about me. They ain't talking about you. Light has come in. on. He says, he endures the presence of God in his wandering.
Yeah.
Notice that as he journeys, Abram and God enjoy some sweet communion and fellowship.
Yes.
God spoke to him and he worshiped the Lord.
Uh-huh.
It seems that Abram was determined to include God in his pilgrimage. Watch this. Far too many people attempt to leave God out of their journey that they're traveling. And that's a recipe for disaster. Whether you acknowledge him or not, God is always there with you when you travel. Hebrews chapter 13 verse number 5 tells us, and this is from the Message Bible, don't be obsessed with getting more material things. That shot around there. Let me read that one again. Don't be obsessed with getting more material things. Be relaxed with what you have. Since God assures us, I will never let you down, I'll never walk off from you, and I'll never leave you. What you talking about, preacher? If I drove up Sunday in my what's that new thing, man? They have new cars just came out. Lexus, I think it is. Just came out with a new car. Man, that thing is nice. Go black. Everything on. Then I got some members in here who are financially better, financial able than I am to do stuff like that. But I drive up in my nice car. Or I go buy my nice house. Or I show up to church Sunday in my nice suit, tailor made. Or either I go get my Gator skins and put them on. Whatever it is I got, I show up to church with. And those that got more than I got financially look at what I got. And what they do is they don't say, well, God bless you. They say, man, where you got this thing from? It doesn't matter where I got them from. I was blessed by the Lord. And what? Next Sunday, what happened? They show up. Across the street, because when the folk across the street buy something, I gotta go buy something. We do that with our children. Somebody got something else, then we got a new toy to ride on. And guess what? I want my child to have what they got, so I go get the same thing. You need to stop that mess. Oh no. Yeah. Let it go. Leave it alone. Get it out the way. See, you got to walk with God in your journey. Stop trying to get what everybody else got. Be satisfied with what you have. See, that's why we can't get nothing. Because we always trying to get it, and we ain't satisfied with what God has already given us.
Amen.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you include God in your life by listening to him when he speaks and by worshiping him when you travel, it makes the miles that you're traveling a whole lot easier.
Yes.
You don't believe me? Ask some of these older ladies in this church. Ask Sister Jupiter after church over with how she made it all these years. Traveling and walking alone. Ask Sister Johnson how she made it all these years through what she's gone through and the trouble that she's gone through. Ask them how they made it that far. It was by the grace of God. And they were satisfied with what they had, and they weren't looking for all the rest of that stuff. Let me help you. He had the benefit in his worship. to have the presence of God. He had the presence of God in his wandering. But then in verse 8, he has the presence of God in his way. Verse 8 tells us that Abram pitched his tent between Bethel and Hai. Yes. The word Bethel means house of God. It was at Bethel that the patriarch Jacob would later meet on a one-on-one battle one night.
Yes.
Fighting with an angel. Genesis 28. The name Hai means a heap of ruin. It is here that Israel will later learn the valuable lesson about faith, obedience, and destructive power of sin. And I find it interesting that as Abram is journeying, it seems that he is moving away from a heap of rubbish closer to the house of God. That symbolizes the fact that Abram was moving away from that what he used to be toward that which God desired for him to be. That's what happens when a person sets out a walk with the Lord. When we desire, when we determine in our that we will walk with in the paths of the Lord, we will begin the process of transforming this heap of ruin into a life before Him. And it will transform us into a house of God for God's glory. What you mean, preacher? I mean, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 kind of explains it better than I can. Bright morning star. I'm going to paraphrase this thing for you so you can put it in your own. Put your own name where I say bright morning star. Bright morning star. Did you realize that your body is a sacred place?
Yes.
A place of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Don't you see that you can live however you please to live?
Yeah.
You can't swindle what God paid such a high price for. The physical part of you is not in some piece of property that belongs to the spiritual part of you. Help me, preacher. Let me help you. That's why the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 7, He has given us a treasure that sits in earthen vessels. My body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. If I belong to God, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? When I go to Bible, I'm bringing the Holy Spirit with me tonight. When I go meet Sam, I'm bringing. When I'm in the middle of what I'm doing, I take God with me. What you mean, preacher? In other words, when I go sin, I put God on my shoulder and I bring Him into my sinful situation. Well, I'm going to sin, preacher, but what should I do? Let me see who watches. I can't get rid of it. Why? Because I got it on the inside of me. And if I got it on the inside of me, wherever I go, He's got to go with me. My body is a temple. I got a treasure on the inside of me that I take with me everywhere I go. He takes us like He finds us and He changes us into His image. How do you know that, preacher? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. If any man, watch, is in Christ.
Yes.
He is a new creature.
Yes, yes, yes.
All things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. In other words, if you are in Christ, then all that stuff you used to do, you ought to be moving from the house of ruin closer to the house of God.
Yes.
And if you have moved, you better check yourself.
Yeah.
See, like before, young folk, you say in my day, check yourself or you wreck yourself.
Yeah.
In other words, now we look inside. And what we see is that anyone united with the master gets a fresh start. The slate is clean. No matter what I was before I accepted him as my savior, when I accept him as my savior, he wipes all of that stuff clean. Now I look good. I look better than what I used to. The old life is gone and a new life is now flourished. Look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 19 says, amen to that. He says, and as we have bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. When I was in the world, I look like the world. I don't know nobody. I look just like the world when I was in the world. Because if you saw me, you saw I was a party-hardy somebody. But it really doesn't matter because that's what I look like. I look like what I was. But when I became a Christian, I started looking like Jesus more and more day by day.
Hey.
I'm almost done with y'all.
Take your time.
Then the final point says, not only did he enjoy the wandering and enjoy him in his ways, and he enjoyed him in his worship, but then he turned around and he enters God's place. My God. Watch. This passage closes with Abram's journey on with the Lord. What you mean, preachers? He was headed somewhere. He may have pitched his tent in many addresses in Canaan, but his heart was somewhere else. Abram was already living in a far away country. He was already looking away by sight, and he enters into the land called heaven.
Yeah.
Watch this. Hebrews chapter number 11. Mm-hmm. Verse 8 through 16 says this. By an act of faith, this is the Message Bible. By an act of faith, Abram said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea of where he was going. Verse 9 says, by the act of faith, he lived in a country promised to him, lived in a strange camping tent. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Verse 10 says, and Abram did it by keeping his eyes on an unseen city with real eternal foundation, who designed and made was by God.
Let me help you.
Abram, in other words, watch this. Abram, y'all see my thing? Hold it up in there. All right? Y'all see that back there, right? Abram was traveling, but his eyes was on what was in heaven. He was traveling on earth, but his eyes was fixed on what was in heaven. He was looking for a city. He was looking for for a place. A place he can go. A place he can travel. A place that was made of foundations.
Yeah.
Whose builder and maker was God. It was by faith.
Yeah.
You put it down for now.
All right.
Yeah. He's by faith. It says Sarah had a baby.
Uh-huh.
In her old age.
Yeah.
Because she believed in the one who promised her what she was going to get.
Yes.
That's how that happens for the man who died and shriveled up in the lions. For millions of people around this world are dying and falling.
Yes.
They won't be what they won't be, when they won't be, how they won't be.
Yes.
You got to live by faith.
Yes.
You got to live by the promises of God. You got to allow God. You got to keep your eye focused on him.
Yeah,
watch, and these millions of people who have traveled and made it to heaven, verse 14 says, people who live in this way make it plain that they are looking for their true home. Verse 15, if they were homesick for an old country, they could have gone back to where they wanted to.
Yeah.
But they, in verse 16, he says, but they were after a far better country.
Yeah.
That heavenly country.
Yeah.
You can you see God is a proud of them and has a city waiting for them?
Yeah.
How many of us know in this place today, if you truly believe in God and trust in God, God's got a city waiting for you. You just can't get to it yet, but it's waiting there for you. The old folk will say, I got a mansion somewhere over in glory, and it's mine all mine. That morning star, that is why the life of Abraham is studied as a successful life. Why? Because he lived on a higher plane than other folk. He lived in a heavenly place while his feet were walking here on earth. He had plenty of things. But his things didn't have him. He held this thing in this world with a loose grip, trusting that God would lift him up as he saw fit. The Lord give it, and the Lord take it away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is how you make us successful through this life. See, some of us got our hands so gripped on our houses and the things that we have and our children and all that stuff there. The Lord gave it to me.
Yeah.
And if the Lord gave it to me, he has the power to take it away. Whether I want it or I die going looking for it. See, you got to hold this stuff in a loose grip.
Yeah.
And tell the Lord, Lord, whatever it is you want to do with what I have, it's up to you, God.
Yeah.
All I can do is follow whatever you do in my life.
Yeah.
I pray today that the Lord help us to get our eyes and our hands off of this world. When we begin to live on a higher plane, we will see things from a better perspective. Things will be less important to us. They will become less and less as we walk along. When we are determined that we are heavenly minded, it will transform our walk. So seriously that we don't know nothing about. All we would want is Christ and him crucified. It will take us away from thinking that we are this and we are that. Because really and truly, you're nothing. And you're nobody. But I got a B.A. and a PhD and all this other stuff. And I've made it to my level of success. And all of this other, you ain't nothing but a piece of dirt. Just like all the rest of us. See, because if you don't have Christ in your life, you are nothing. And if you got Christ in your life, that stuff you achieve will mean nothing to you. Why? Because it's all about him. Had it not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Let me help you. Let me help you along with this thing. Hold that thing up for me. Cleveland walked in this area.
Yes.
15 years old, sitting on an instrument, playing on an instrument. At that time, my eye wasn't on Christ. My eye was on what I was doing, what I felt like doing, when I felt like doing, how I felt like doing. Somewhere years later, things start to transform.
Yes.
I was still on the organ, but my eyes got off of what people were doing, and I started looking at Christ.
Yes.
And it didn't matter what went on in my life, I kept looking at Christ because I had an eternal glory.
Yes.
I wanted to get where I needed to be. And then as I walked along, I was somewhere in my 20s or 30s, I started preaching and teaching God's word in Sunday school, but my eyes wasn't on what I was doing here. My eyes was fixed on Jesus. Because
yes.
I knew I had a better place. I knew I was trying to get somewhere. Somewhere around my 40s, I started to get serious about ministry. And then I started working, and my eyes were still fixed on. People were telling, man, you can preach. Man, you can do this. Man, God's going to bless you. But my eyes wasn't on that mix. My eyes were on Jesus. I kept on moving. I kept on moving in life. And things started getting better. And I ended up at Bright Morning Star Baptist Church. But my eyes not on Bright Morning Star. My eyes still fixed. Something got to happen to me. And as I walk along in the journey, somewhere in my older age, things are going to be fixing, and I'm going to get weakened, and y'all going to get rid of me, but my eyes still going to be fixed. Oh, Jesus. Sickness going to come in my life, but my eyes going to be fixed. Oh, Jesus. And one of these days, I got to go through the doorway of death, and you ain't going to see me no more. But my eyes are still fixed on Jesus. And when I walk in heaven one of these days, it doesn't matter what you believe about me. My eyes is still fixed on Jesus. And one of these days, I'm going to lay out my cross for a crown, because I'm going home. I'm going home because my eyes fixed on Jesus. And whatever your eyes on today, you need to get your eyes fixed on Jesus. If your eyes fixed on Jesus, nothing else matters. I got a home. Old folks say, over the mountain. And I must get there on time. When he calls my name, I want to be ready to go back with him. Do you want to be ready? Do you want him to come and get you? I tell him it doesn't matter when he comes. He comes tomorrow because my heart is fixed. My mind.